You're way too tense, hon.
Mildred needed Sing's shoulders with her powerful hands.
One thing you gotta keep in mind. You don't do yourself or your patients any good tying yourself up in knots. It just makes it harder to work.
Oh, right, Mildred. You're right.
The healer smiled wanly back over her shoulder at Mildred, who breathed a short sigh. There was a sort of role reversal going on here. Sing seemed to be trying, maybe without realizing it, to abdicate her crushing burden to her new subordinate. She had a perfect rationalization in hand. The black woman was much more medically knowledgeable, and neither could deny it. Nor was Mildred constitutionally capable of doing anything less than what she could when her healing services were needed. This night, they treated four men wounded during the deliberate devastation of a vill whose name no one ever knew. Despite feeling as if they'd had it coming, Mildred couldn't refuse to do her best for them. In the same way, while she wouldn't criticize her nominal superior and couldn't criticize her dedication or effort, when she saw something that needed to be done, she did it. But she didn't want the job. She liked, respected, and tried not to pity Sing, who wasn't in the chain of command, nor responsible for the atrocities Magog left in its wake. She didn't want to cut the ground from under her feet. Neither did she want to get to like the job too much, even though she was acting more like a real physician for a more protracted period than at any time since Ryan and company had awakened her. And she especially didn't want to come to view herself as part of Magog. Not when it meant identifying with the people who had enslaved her.
Sing?
Mildred's heart performed some pretty odd aerobatics at the sound of the voice. Both women looked up at the door of Sing's tiny office cubicle, where Captain Mark Helton stood.
Would you mind giving me a few minutes with Mildred, please?
No, Captain.
Before Mildred could put her oar in, Sing jumped up and scuttled out. Mildred made herself face the young officer. She had learned in the interim that when she encountered Helton in the burning vill, he had been in the process of trying to rein in the men, not supervising the destruction as she had imagined. So she wronged him. So what? It was only by degree. But standing there looking at his earnest, handsome, and at the moment painfully young-looking face, it was impossible for her to pretend that her only thoughts toward him were negative. He was the most beautiful man she had ever seen. Why did he have to kiss her before?
I don't really have anything to say to you right now, Mark.
Mildred, I'm sorry. Sorry you had to see that.
Sorry I had to, or sorry that I did?
We couldn't exactly keep it a secret, but I understand your scruples, your compassion. I honor you for them, I really do. But they're part of the distant past now. The things we do now are what our reality demands of us. And we aren't doing this for ourselves, we're doing it for future generations, so they can live in a better world than we'll ever know. Someone's got to start building it. We've taken it on. The General has taken it on. And so have those of us who have chosen, who have sworn to follow him. And if we find ourselves forced to do things that leave stains on our souls in the name of a better tomorrow, then we're willing to pay that price, or any other.
He really was a puppy. Maybe with the mind of a Nobel laureate, but a puppy. She wanted to grab him and shake him and say, "Honey, honey, listen to yourself. You've got to know how trite and empty that all is." But he believed his words.
You're doing what you think is right, I know. But so are the men who blew up the world in the first place. Belief doesn't make everything right, Mark.
He frowned. Then he shut his eyes and shook his head.
I'm not explaining this well enough.
He half turned away, slumped in the doorway, hammer-fisted himself on the leg.
Nuke blast! If I only knew what to say to make you see...
Mildred smiled feebly.
I feel just the same way.
Mildred, you're the most incredible woman I've ever known. You're so beautiful, so intelligent. Nobody... If only... Shit. Maybe if you spoke to the General himself.
Mildred tried to ignore everything he had said before that last statement, anger truly rising.
Don't even go there. All I do is to ask him to let my people go.
Is that how you think of yourself and your friends? As prisoners?
Aren't we? We were taken at gunpoint and rounded up like cattle, taken as slaves, Mark.
He looked at her as if he was waiting for her to come to the point. She wasn't getting through. He was a child of a world in which slavery was an everyday part of life, distasteful to some, accepted by most. just as he was of a world in which race prejudice was something that existed between man and mutie, where hardly anybody troubled themselves about a slight difference in melanin concentration, so long as you weren't a taint. What he had done to her and JB and Jack and Doc was the same as what he had done to the immigrants, judged unfit to work on the track. Unpleasant, regrettable, but part of his duty. Part of the burden he'd taken on in pursuit of his dream, or the general's anyway. What it wasn't and couldn't be was the obscene defilement, the literal denigration, that it was to her. To him, to almost everyone today, slavery had little or nothing to do with skin color. What it mainly had to do with was luck. She shook her head and turned away, as her eyes filled with tears.
Never mind.
She felt his hand on her arm and whirled.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark, but please don't.
But why, Mildred? I like you. I love you. What's wrong with expressing
that? Damn you! Don't you dare patronize me! Don't play games!
You're an incredible person, Mildred. Your warmth and wisdom, your knowledge, your dedication, your bravery. I think I do love you. You have greatness inside, and I...
He reached for her face with his hands. She caught his wrists in grips of iron.
If you're not playing with me, Mark, then 1,000 times don't keep this up, please.
She slowly moved his hands back toward his chest and released them.
I like you too, Mark. But for right now, I think you better go.
Damn it, you can't be serious.
I am. Very much so.
What? That old blind piece of shit? The armorer? You can't be serious.
I think you heard me, Mark.
Fuck this.
He left.
Are you getting anywhere, Captain?
Mark stopped and spun in the narrow passageway. Out here, you could really feel the train's motion as it hurtled along the tracks beneath a tormented sky. It felt like riding within a great living organism.
What are you talking about, Hubertus?
The intel chief smiled. As always, it made him look as if he were a tailor who'd forgotten he had a mouthful of pins.
With Mildred, of course.
The young captain's eyes narrowed, and his hands knotted into fists.
You were instructed to probe her, Captain, for certain information. Have you made any progress whatever?
I didn't ask her just now, if that's what you mean.
That's a pity. The General has been most indulgent with those four. Scandalously so, I might say. But his patience won't last forever. Our intelligence analysis indicates very persuasively that they have knowledge that could prove crucial to the realization of our grand program.
The Great Redoubt?
Among other things. Although the location of the redoubt itself might pale into insignificance beside other things they know. The General's forbearance won't last forever. If gentler means fail to produce result, then we will be forced to subject Mildred and her friends to stiffer measures.
Lay a hand on her, and I'll shoot you myself.
Me? I, who am nothing but an instrument of our General's will, Captain? What of the grand design? What of your idealistic dreams?
I believe you heard me. Good night.